I'll tell you this much, Limits. I liked Arthur Smith so much that I want to hear some more. I do. We're going to get to Jeff Hathorn. He's at the Pat Narduzzi news conference. I'm on a weigh-in with Jeff on the Backyard Brawl on all things Steelers, Falcons, and the Heather Like, replacing Heather Like situation, all that. But I want to hear more of Arthur Smith. I'm very interested. I haven't heard him really interact with people a lot. And let's be honest, at least in my opinion, there's Steelers coach among coaches in Pittsburgh. Steelers head coach is number one highest profile. And in my opinion, Steelers offensive coordinator is number two, ahead of who's ever coaching the Penguins, ahead of who's ever managing the Pirates, let alone the college team. The coordinator is the second most scrutinized position in all of Pittsburgh coaching, in my not-so-humble opinion.
No, I would tend to agree with that, because we saw this, the scrutiny and scuttlebutt around Matt Canada, Bruce Arians over the years, Ken Wisenhunt. I mean, they're known much more than defensive coordinators. Even when Dick LeBeau was here, the focus was always on the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and I'm interested in getting to know Arthur Smith, at least by the means that we're currently, you know, hearing him, which is in his weekly media address after practice on Thursdays. That was just really interesting, what we heard before the break there, his explanation on the middle of the field being wide open because he wasn't going to deal with Jesse Bates at all, and how Bates texted him, because they did get him once on that Pickens play deep at the end of the first half. Just good stuff. His explanation on what looked to be a horrible play, the little wide receiver screen, I guess you could call it, with Calvin Austin as one of your lead blockers. He said that was not a well-timed play. Shouldn't have been thrown out there. Should have been a moot point. But, you know, we get to make up our minds in the end. It still looked like that was the design, should it come to what it came to. And it was horrific.
Man, I guess those Fields making a bad read is what Cabali pointed out on Twitter as well.
Well, that's what I mean. The ball...
Yeah, it shouldn't be there.
The ball never should have gone out there. Which, again, if you're an offensive coordinator, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't at these media sessions. Same as a quarterback, by the way. Because if you tell the truth of how you saw a certain play and it implicates somebody else, then everybody's going to be, listen to this guy throwing people under the bus. And then if you don't tell the truth and you just BS people, well, then you catch flack for that too. You know what I mean? Like, come on, tell us what happened. What really happened?
Right. So it's good to hear. It's a good start. And, you know, Arthur Smith and Jesse Bates texting back and forth. He coached Bates last year. So obviously he knows everything that Bates is capable of. It makes sense because he had so much information and knowledge of the Falcons' defense as to what they did in terms of the middle of the field. And obviously the bad read by Fields in that equation. But overall, in terms of the offense, it's not worse than Matt Canada's last year. It's better. Now, how much better is still yet to be seen.
I'll reserve judgment on that as to whether it's better. Why do you already say it's better?
There were some things situationally that I liked, but, I mean, the ceiling was on the floor with the Matt Canada offense.
For sure, but we are coming off a game in which they scored zero touchdowns.
I'm not denying
that. They got a bunch of 50-plus yard field goals, or they might lose the game if their kicker has a bad day.
I think week one, it's kind of hard to judge with a lot of new pieces, new coordinator, new receivers, new quarterback, new line.
I'm not the one who made a judgment. You were.
I did.
We shall see.
I'm still passing judgment.
That's what we do on this show.
Here's Artie.
Two picks, almost got a third fumble, forced fumble late. And the way the game was going, you know, we were able to stay ahead, and it allowed us to not try to let him affect it. He texted me, he said, "You caught me sleeping right before the half." I said, "Yeah, you lull you to sleep. Get disinterested. And we set him up on that situationally. But he's a great player. And, you know, sometimes it's just very practical. You know, our Jason Bourne, TJ Watt, wrecked the game. Theirs didn't. And that's kind of what the story of the game really was.
Do you have to take a similar approach with Pat Surtain?
It's different. Every player is great players every week. There's other great players on the field. I mean, Grady Jarrett's a great player. But, you know, like I said, the season Jesse has, again, I don't know why more people don't look at him as a top five player in this league. I certainly do. I've watched it live. Yeah, there's always great players. And matchups different. You know, sometimes it's a safety. Sometimes it's an interior guy. It's an edge guy. Maybe a backer that can destroy the games. Pat Surtain's certainly a great player. He's a corner, a little bit different. You don't want to give away strategy, but we're going to see. I'd imagine they're going to match him on George, which they did DK last week. They're going to see good on good. And at some point, you got to make a play.
You're talking about
Najee seemed to have the ball for the carries. Is that indicative of that game? Or is that
a little bit of the flow of the game. You know, Jalen didn't practice a lot. We had stuff for CP. I thought Najee came out running hard. I mean, I joked with him that play on the sideline. Now, you talking about going bowling discipline, we got to cut out some of that stuff. Like, you know, that's a routine play. Najee's a big player. You get matched up on the corner, I'll take that every time. That should be routine plays. But that reminded me of some of the Derrick Henry runs that he finished off. A little bit was flow of the game, and a lot of it was because of Jalen, where we were using him situationally, not practicing a lot. And so we'll see how this week goes, you know, with the division of labor, those three.
What kind of trust is earned when you have a first game with a quarterback?
A lot. A lot, you know, a young player. Like, a lot of these guys don't get a chance to develop. In whatever situation they walk into, you look at a lot of the great players. You know, you don't put everything on their shoulders early on. Usually those guys become second contracts. You better be winning because of the guy because he's taking most of your cap. And so a lot of it is the reps added up. He's got good experience from his time in Chicago. But as a young player, I mean, he's barely older than some of these rookies that are playing right now or that got drafted high. And those reps matter, and those are the things that build confidence. You build off winning. And there's always things we got to work on, myself included. Nobody's admit. We talk a lot about it. Shared accountability. That's real. And so that I was happy. You know, we talk about growth and, excuse me, almost my zen almost came out. But but handling the situation, that's what the great players do. And so that was a step in the right direction.
Arthur, George was a big part of your offense.
George is going to be a big part every week.
Yeah, so I was going to say, was there a concerted effort from a play calling perspective to get him the ball, or was that more what the coverage dictated, or just his connection?
Well, a little bit of both, but, you know, you got guys like that. You want to get your hands in the best players, you know, the ball in the best players' hands, how you want to look at it. And the same thing, George is a young player. There's certainly things. You got details. Sometimes when the ball doesn't go to you as a wide out, the effect you have on that play. You know, it's about details and routes, you know. Again, and this isn't a blame game. It's just kind of just general philosophy, you know. Even on the two sacks, it wasn't like we got beat early and inside. And Grady made a play late, but we got to be cleaner with the detail. Because sometimes maybe the coverage gets you off the first read, or sometimes your detail gets you off the first read and you're holding the football, which is what the defense wants in obvious pass situations. But that's all the way across the board, and that's what we got to take another step. We got to be more detailed and more disciplined, and we'll constantly work on that.
You mentioned the pass right before half that went to George. I was curious on that one. Was it designed for
Absolutely.
It to go back? Okay.
Yeah, that's what you called it. I mean, you know, that may not come up again. We have other plays in that situation where you are. You need a chunk play. How do you want to design it? You can't run the same thing over and over again. But the way the game was flowing a little bit, it was because of Jesse. I could watch him. That's why I like calling for the field. There's a psychology to it. As you're watching those guys, whether you get the rush frustrated or you get a great player frustrated, you know, next time we'll probably have something different, maybe a different scheme, but the coverage dictated it and just the situation.
Talking about doing different things with different packages, what is it about this group that makes three tight ends on the field at the same time something you think is advantageous?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be, you think it's an advantage, you know. With their front, you know, there's different ways, you know, week to week it'll change, but certainly going into that week, there was unknown. You know, they had a lot of five down, six down structures, so again, that their safety pressure they showed, you know, they got us late with a couple edge pressures. You know, we got it, saw it clean a couple other times, but that's the game you're playing every week. But we felt good about our tight ends on their OLBs. And a little bit it was controlling the line of scrimmage. And we got big, strong tight ends that can do multiple jobs. I joke when you get in a combination with Darnell and one of our tackles, that's 650 pounds coming at you. So most of these OLBs aren't made to do that. But it'll change week to week, depending on schemes, matchups. But I thought they handled that part well.
What did you like or learn about Justin's decision-making in state? I mean, you've obviously seen him in the preseason,
sure,
but a little different in a regular season game.
Again, the flow of the game dictated some of it, too. And I told him, I said, like, even as a play caller, you know, before the third and two, fourth line, especially late, when there's no need to pick it up, you want to, because and this isn't, again, I'm contexting it because I don't want to, I got too much respect for them on the other side, but like, they got to do something there. They got to, once we made them use their timeouts, you know what you're going to get. Nobody's going to sit there and play you in light coverage. So, you know, it's a 5-point game. You don't necessarily, you didn't want to pick it up because of the zero, and God forbid something goes wrong, even though you kind of know what they're in. You don't really want to kneel it. You know, Scotty had to go in there and hold it, so maybe you break a tackle one-on-one and stay in bounds, keep the clock going. So that's one part of that whole situation late as you're going through it with him. And I thought he was very disciplined. He didn't get greedy. When the shots were there and the opportunities were there, to your point that you brought up earlier, we took advantage of it. Again, it'll change week to week, but that the way that game flowed, I thought he played really disciplined, which is why he had an efficient day.
Did you campaign for fourth and down, go for it?
Well, it's all those. We had talked about it. That's the one thing that a lot of that goes on through the week and what you train in camp. And, you know, we're running the ball well. Credit to Atlanta and really Landman. I mean, he came flying over the top. And, you know, you're 6 inches away from if he doesn't time that up, Justin rolls out the back. But that's the name of the game in the NFL. He made a play. Obviously, you go back in hindsight, you wish you'd called something different. But that's every week. You know, you don't want to have too many. You say, oh, I wish I hadn't called it. But you got to look at yourself objectively. So there's a lot went into that. Yeah, I mean, I thought the biggest play that we made in the run game was the third down, the quarterback counter, because that kind of really sealed the deal.
The 12-yarder?
Yeah, the one that in motion CP out. He followed Connor. It was Spence, but Connor made a great play too, and you got him one-on-one with the safety there, and he finished it. I mean, that's Justin's hard to tackle in open field, and that's another weapon, but that was a critical play.
Very interesting stuff. He lost me at one point with one of those explanations. But, man, you heard Chris Hoke earlier today talk about how Mike Tomlin really likes what Justin Fields brings and has been wanting a quarterback like this. And what you just heard, those things aren't really available with Russell Wilson, although Russell still moves around pretty well. But I think Arthur Smith is rather enamored with the possibilities as well. With Justin Fields. And Hokie's right. Tomlin has long coveted this kind of quarterback.
Well, and it's definitely not available now with the state of Wilson and his calf injury. And he's been throwing in, yesterday he threw in basically individual sessions, took a couple steps, a couple dropbacks, nothing really too extreme in terms of working overall with the team, 11-on-11 or anything like that. And I mean, I really do wonder the current state of Russell Wilson's health. Because we're told one thing, what's actually true, how bad really is it from a doctor's perspective compared to Wilson's perspective of, yeah, it hurts a little bit, but did the doctor see something different? That's why Fields also is getting the nod, I think, and the dimension is there. It's something that the Steelers really haven't had in a long time. When was the last time they had a quarterback that could run around like this?
Man, not many have had a guy like this in terms of running. Like, that's a big body that can move, that can make people miss. So, if he plays well in Denver, I'm with Hokie and a lot of other people that I think no matter what kind of shape Russell Wilson's in the next week, even if he's 100%, I think you see Fields again. I truly do. But Arthur Smith, as a whole there, I thought came off pretty well. I do. Gave his explanations on why things didn't work. Implicated some people and some things that didn't work. So what? I want to hear an honest opinion from the offensive coordinator. Why didn't that play work? And if that means this guy didn't get the block, Fields didn't time the throw properly, which is what he talked about on that little wide receiver screen, whatever you want to call it, that just blew up with Calvin Austin as a lead blocker. He blamed it on not himself.
Do you think there's a bottom line benchmark for a stat line that Fields has to have in this game to remain the starter?
No, I think we'll know it when we see it. Or it could be just a win again where he plays at least this. Let's say he plays virtually the same way and they win again. I still think he plays.
I wouldn't be convinced. I'm not convinced of that if he plays the same way because I think he played fine. But again, they did not score a touchdown. He was effective in the run game. He has to. Okay, defense. Denver's defense is fine. I think he has to further exceed some expectations. He has to be better than what he did last game. If he throws a couple touchdown passes, no interceptions, takes care of the ball, then yes. And a big part of that is not turning the ball over.
Well, that's the other part.
He didn't do.
Right. He doesn't turn the ball over. He makes key plays late, like, you know, converting a 3rd-and-7 on a designed quarterback run. He delivers 60 yards or so in the run game, makes a couple big plays. Has good third down conversion percentage, and they win. then it becomes very, 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 very interesting. And Mike Tomlin maybe intentionally has kept this idea alive that this was very close all along. You know, maybe intentionally he kept that idea alive. You remember when he finally announced Russell as a starter, he said it was a very difficult decision. We ripped him for it. Like, no, it wasn't. This was the way it was all along. Maybe he was very calculated in how he worded that, so it didn't appear like Russell was the clear-cut, by far, favorite here. It was really close, Tomlin said. And now we've won a couple games. We're 2-0. No turnovers. Some big plays with his feet. I told you guys it was close. And now we're off to 2-0 start. Playing pretty well. We're going to stay with it. I mean, we have a very recent example of a guy, a quarterback, losing his job to injury because the other guy played better or played well. We don't have anything to judge Russell Wilson by yet, but played well. And that was Mason Rudolph. And I know he played really well in a couple of those games, like tons of touchdown passes and things like that. But I mean, one of those was against Cincinnati's broken defense, right? The other one was against Seattle's low-ranked defense. So I do think it's instructive to note that Mike Tomlin has in his very recent history a willingness to go with the hot hand over the presumed starter. Ben Roethlisberger doesn't play here anymore. There is no star here. There is no star to have allegiance to. He's got no history at all, in fact, with Russell Wilson. And they're paying him nothing. So they have no financial stake in the game either. Which is why if you're Russell Wilson, I believe the report from Schefter that he wanted to play last week, and you better believe he wants to play this week. Because he can see, if we all are watching it and seeing it unfold, and if Chris Hoke is making that observation, and people around the country who played football are making that observation, that if Fields keeps doing this, even not great play, but just good, and different from what the Steelers have had recently, then he's going to keep playing. You don't think Russell Wilson thinks that too?
This is a mini Super Bowl for Russell Wilson going back to Denver and playing in this game. Because his legacy in Seattle is Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, truly should be two-time Super Bowl champion if Pete Carroll would have just ran the damn ball. And a guy who is a Walter Payton Man of the Year, good legacy, first ballot Hall of Famer, then he goes to Denver and now questions. Was Russell Wilson really that good, or was it the defense? How good really is he? Is his legacy tarnished a little bit by going to another team, getting this huge contract before he plays one snap and is done? So he wants to stick it to that team that gave him the big deal, did not decide to stick with him, went with Jared Stidham, who was benched for Bo Nix to start the year. There's got to be a lot of bad blood for Russell Wilson with Denver.
No, he desperately wants to play in this game.
He does.
I would imagine.
It's just how healthy is his body? And is his body going to hold up? Is this the beginning of the end for him physically? And I think that's one thing that I was worried about coming into the season. How will his body hold up? Because, yes, Tom Brady with his kale shakes and weird diet made it all the way to 44, but not everybody's cut from the same cloth. And we saw Ben Roethlisberger over the last couple of years of his career not be the same player. Still effective, but will the same, because mobility is a huge part of Russell Wilson's game and the calf injury hampers that. Is it the same if you put Wilson out there compared to Fields right now? Is it the same competitive advantage? And I don't think it is.
I mentioned that Deshaun Watson, there was a little bit of news there, this latest claim. The accuser's attorney, Tony Busby, said we'll be scheduling a meeting with the NFL and hope that can be accomplished in the next 2 weeks. We have a video and two additional witnesses for the NFL to speak with. That does not sound good for Deshaun Watson. I don't know, man. I feel like this whole thing, it doesn't even look like he wants to be on the field right now. The thing's been a disaster beyond anyone's wildest imagination, I think, from day one. It's just been a disaster. And I don't think he's going to finish the season there. I'm not saying he's going to be somewhere else other than Cleveland. He's not going to finish the season on the field. I wouldn't be surprised if this results in a suspension from the NFL. This is somehow, unbelievably, getting worse limits.
Yeah, there's a video. There's more information and more evidence that keeps coming out. I mean, I don't know how anybody can defend Deshaun Watson with everything.
Well,
I just don't.
They would be defending him.
I don't mean not, in terms of like a lawyer.
No. They would be defending him, although not logically. If he was playing well, he'd have all kinds of defenders.
There'd be all kinds of defenders.
The fact that he's maybe the worst quarterback in the league leads people who would otherwise be inclined to defend their guy no matter what he did to also hate on him. It's just... Even Brady, the only person I know that didn't criticize him was Brady during the game last
week. Yeah, and he was tiptoeing all through glass all over the place.
You're looking at an apparently really bad guy in Deshaun Watson and a really bad quarterback, and therefore somebody who has absolutely nobody supporting him at the moment. And I think it's just gonna end in Cleveland. I don't see how it can go on. And the really interesting thing will be, can they get out of that contract? And you read differing accounts of that. So we'll be following that sorry saga as it moves along here. What's Cooking brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills, let's go back out to the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline where we find our very own Jeff Hathorn. Jeff, we're getting ready for the 107th Backyard Brawl. You were at Pat Narduzzi's media session today. Anything interesting?
Always, Joe. Always. He admitted today to being paranoid because they held their practices in the indoor facility all week just in case anyone was trying to, as he was putting, if there are any mountaineers in the mountains trying to film anything.
Yeah.
You take every precaution when you're playing a rivalry game. And he did say that he wanted to continue this rivalry, much like Neil Brown said a couple of days ago. But he added this. He wants to play it again around Thanksgiving. He says that's where this game deserves to be played. Says he remembers as a kid watching Pitt, West Virginia around Thanksgiving, and that's what the next move is that they want to get this game to be at the end of the year, not a game in September.
Yeah, I would love it to be the season kickoff, or yeah, that's even better. In September, there have been some legendary matchups here. Anything else from Narduzzi?
I mean, those are the main things to me. Some minutiae stuff, and how Eli has to be able to handle this situation. How he likes how he's played. He feels like the offense will be better. Obviously, it can't be worse than they were last year in this game. I mean, that was just a horrid performance. But that was the main crux of what Narduzzi was talking about today. It was just about this matchup, how he needs the fans to be there and support the team, you know, all that stuff.
Well, apparently Beanie Bishop was on a podcast somewhere and said of West Virginia, of Pitt, they have kind of a similar quarterback that they had last year when he had an interception, we might remember. Obvious, you know, you want to take the game over, get interceptions, force fumbles, things like that. Hopefully he'll throw a couple. Not an Eli Holstein fan in Beanie. Yeah. Did you talk to him this week?
We did. In fact, we just did a couple hours ago, and he was joking that he went over to the Pitt side, and he saw his face along with two other West Virginia guys, like as if they were like the criminals to not let into this side of the building. You don't know how much he was joking, but he was like, listen, here's what someone asked him for the final score. He said, I want West Virginia to have a lot and Pitt to have little. That, you know, he loved the rivalry, loved playing in it, even though he only had an opportunity to play in it. He had some fun. Here's the thing about Beanie. He gets it. Like, he's playing around with it. He says he talks smack to the Pitt people when he runs into them. Like, he gets the entertainment factor of this. Yes, it's real when they get on the field, but this is what sports is. Like, I'm not saying he's a master at it or whatever, but it's fun. Like, you can tell he's smiling when he's saying stuff about it. It's not where, you know, he's going to take it too far, or it's not that he just plays it off. It's just what you want to see from a rivalry.
Who you got in this game, Jeff?
Whew. Maybe I'm getting suckered in, but I think Pitt has I'm going to take Pitt like 31-28. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I kind of believe that Pitt has a weapon again. They've got a Izzy Abanikanda. They've got a Jordan Addison. They've got a difference maker, much like those West Virginia wins had Noel Devine and Steve Slayton and Amos Zaraway and, you know, little guys that could make big plays. Pitt's got that this year, and I think that's going to be the difference in this one.
All right, let's move on to the Steelers. We know that Jeff covers them on a regular basis as well. There's zero chance Russell Wilson will play this week, or what percent do you put at it?
Slim. Slim. I wouldn't say zero. They're not through the week yet, but I would say slim. And just talking to Arthur Smith, he just, you know, about working with Justin this week, and he can't say it. It's Tomlin's call on who plays, but you just get the sense that it's going to be Justin Fields. And, you know, everything you hear from people about these calf injuries, and you've experienced it, you worry that calf could turn into an Achilles. And Achilles, I mean, you might be looking at Field or Wilson being gone for the season. So I think another week to be smart, as much as he might want to play in this. And, you know, every time he's not out there, Joe, you've been around Tomlin. Like, if there is anything that bugs him, it's guys that can't get on the field. Yeah. Like, he doesn't want to talk about them. And the more that he's not on the field, and if Justin can make positive plays, I don't know that Russ would get that starting job back if, say, in a couple of weeks the Steelers are undefeated and now he's healthy to play.
I agree. So does Chris Hoke, who was in with me today. How about Roman Wilson, his chance of playing?
Slim. Mm. Slim. He's still limited. And, I mean, he hasn't gone through a full practice since late July. So while I think it's better, and I think he's turning the corner, then that would be a big ask to not go through or maybe go through one full practice. I'm not saying he can't do it. I think it's probably slim, but I think it'll be soon, maybe next week for the home opener.
And then, very interestingly, Jeff, we had Fatanu at right tackle, Broderick Jones at left, because Dan Moore has the swollen ankle. What is Moore's status? What are the chances that we see Jones and Fatanu starting on the flanks?
It's a chance. Don't rule Moore out, though, yet. He didn't practice yesterday, but don't rule him out. I mean, you know, Tomlin just said he had a swelling with his ankle. That may have been precautionary yesterday and not practicing him. I'm not going to rule Dan Moore out just yet, but I think we're inching towards that inevitability that you don't draft guys in the first round to watch. So it's a matter of time. Maybe it's not this week if Moore is able to bounce back, but it's just a matter of time.
Jeff Hathorn, live from the South Side. Thank you, Jeff.
T, Joe, good luck with that voice.
Thank you, sir. What a wonderful man he is. On Limits? Yeah, Limits agrees.
Yeah, I do. Jeff is always one of the best in saying goodbye afterwards.
Very good at that, yes. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing, up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High of 86 today with sunny skies. Tomorrow is a football Friday, and we have treats galore. We have Ray Fittipaldo. We have our picks of the week. We have our over-unders. We may have a hidden treat from our friend City Limits. Are we going to do picks with a celebrity, or is that falling through?
That's a long story.
Long story.
A long story.
I guess it depends on how we define celebrity, doesn't it?
Yes. Like let's put it this way, Joe. I had somebody that I asked for last week, and they said, ask for next week. So I asked for this week, and then I was told that the celebrity who I eventually want to have on, because it's a really good celebrity pick, is not able to come on until later, like a couple weeks later.
Well, you're a celebrity of some renown.
Renown is the key part of that phrase.
Why don't you pick against me?
I can do that.
I think that would be wonderful. All right. Well, we'll get ready for tomorrow. And, man, these football Fridays come up fast, don't they? Ron and I spent, how long were Ron and I together?
Is it 7 years?
Was
it 6 or 7? It was around 6 or 7 years, right? When was the switch? Wasn't 2018 the switch?
2018.
Or was it 2016?
I don't remember. Let me ask you this. What would you think of Ron Cook as a celebrity picker?
I'd love it. I love it. But you told me that I can't reach out to Ron anymore because you don't think he would answer me. You don't think he would remember me.
Wait, what did... Or just because he wouldn't remember you, or did you do something to him?
No, I didn't do anything to him.
You sure?
I asked you, I was like, I said once, do you think I should text Ron just to see how he's doing? And you said no. Just leave it. He doesn't want to be bothered.
Yeah, I was right about that. But I thought there might have been some slight or perceived slight that you instigated against Ron.
There was no slight against Ron. It wasn't like Harry Callis. Remember Harry Callis' feud with Ron?
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
That's what it was.
I think that might still be happening.
When Callis took a picture of Crowley next to a guy that did not really look like Ron, but they thought looked like Ron, he tweeted it.
Yeah.
And said, look, it's Ron at the game with Crowley.
That didn't go over well.
Ron got very mad.
Well, maybe I'll text Ron tonight and we'll have a real treat for people tomorrow.
That would be a very good celebrity pick.
Wow. Would that be good? All right. Well, Limits, thank you for putting up with my voice today. Dear listeners, thank you for putting up with my voice today. I know, well, you put up with my voice every day, but today in particular, I should be in better shape tomorrow. I hope I am. Do you have any magical cures for a voice that's like this?
So I was...
Does your mom?
Not really. Drink a lot of tea. That's a key part of it. Sometimes cough drops help. I've learned that sometimes cough drops don't. Rest is the biggest thing. Like, sometimes when I get concerned, like, sometimes I'll start to feel something coming on, and I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. I get like Neil Walker. I'm like, I get really worried. And then you try to sleep. One time I slept, like, 10 hours at night and another 3 during the day, and the next day I woke up and I felt better.
Love it.
So I hope that that can be potentially the remedy for you.
Thank you, Limitless Wonder. Fan weather brought to you. I just did that. Didn't I?
That's correct.
It's high of 86 today with sunny skies. I've lost my mind. Thank you, Limits.
Feel better, Joe.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
I feel fine. It's just my voice.
Well, voice feel better then.
Thank you, Limits.